welcome to all of you to the Peace Alliance National Field Call for May. It's a real pleasure to have you with us. My name is Dan Kahn. I'm the National Field Coordinator for the Peace Alliance. And if this is your first call with us or if this is your 50th, either way, we're very glad that we could come together and grateful that you've chosen to spend some time with us towards building a more peaceful, more powerful in peace planet and society. We really have our work cut out for us, as always, and it's great to be here with you in solidarity. I'm going to go over the agenda for the call pretty quickly. In a few minutes, I'm going to introduce Diana Olbaum, our special guest speaker for the evening, and then Diana's going to speak for a little while, and then we're going to have time for question and answer and discussion. Then we're going to have an update from the Department of Peacebuilding Committee and an update around Peace of the Pie campaign activities. And then we're going to review an action sheet, which all of you should have in your email inboxes by now. I sent it about 35 minutes ago to everyone who had registered for this call. So if you would, sometime in the next 30 minutes, if you haven't already, access, please, that action sheet so you can look at it while we're talking about it, and we're going to do some training around taking that action. Then we're going to have a quick poll. And then we want to hear updates from as many of you are interested in sharing what's going on with you, if you're meeting with members of Congress, if you're getting anything published, if you're working in your community with schools or neighborhoods, or working on building personal peace in other ways. We want to hear about it. So that's the plan for this call. And now, without further ado, I want to introduce Diana Olbaum. It's such a pleasure to have her on the call with us. I also sent the link to her bio to many of you, so many of you should have been able to look at a lot of what she's accomplished, but I'll share just a few of the highlights of her background. Diana worked from 2009 to 2013 as a senior professional staff member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee in Congress, and she coordinated the effort to rewrite and reform the Foreign Assistance Act of 1961, which culminated in the introduction of the Global Partnership Act of 2012. So she's done some really powerful work in Congress. Prior to that, she directed the Senate Foreign Relations Subcommittee on International Economic Policy, where she led a successful battle against elimination of the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, and also drafted legislation to streamline the foreign aid system, championed expansion of human rights laws, and rewrote statutory guidelines for monitoring and approval of arms transfers. So she has really had her sleeves rolled up in the thick of the kind of work that we love to support. She is currently the president of DLO Global and a senior associate with the Center for Strategic and International Studies Project on Prosperity and Development, as well as a principal of Turner 4D Strategic Communications Firm. So as I said, many, many achievements to her credit, and I, again, recommend the website dloglobal.com to learn more about that organization and what they do, dloglobal.com. So now, without further ado, I want to welcome Diana to share some ideas with us about international peacebuilding, the prospects and possibilities, what's been happening, and what might happen next. Welcome, Diana.
Well, thank you so much, Dan, and it's a real pleasure to be with all of you today, and I'm hoping that we'll have a few minutes for Q&A after. Is that my understanding?
Absolutely, yeah. We're planning to have, if you could share for about 10 minutes or maybe a little bit more, and then we've set aside at least 15 minutes for Q&A and discussion.
Absolutely. Okay, so I have some good news, some bad news, and some stuff that might be helpful to know, and I'm going to start with the bad news because that way I won't leave you as depressed as we start off. And I think most of you recognize the basic problem is that we have an administration that just doesn't seem to see the value in diplomacy and development and peace building. And they don't seem to even see any kind of role for morals and principles in foreign policy. And as a result of that, they're shifting resources to defense. They are ramping up offensive actions across the globe. These things are alienating our friends and allies. Meanwhile, they're embracing tyrants. They're attacking the press. They're thwarting oversight and accountability. It's a long list of things that go against everything we're fighting for, and we have a very tough fight ahead. I think these priorities are reflected in the preliminary budget that Trump submitted for FY18, fiscal year 18, and that's where I'll get into the budget stuff later. But it envisions huge increases in defense, but cuts international affairs by almost one-third. And when I say international affairs, that covers everything we're spending on foreign aid and diplomacy. And the $54 billion increase in defense spending is actually the entire amount that we spent on diplomacy and development in 2016. So they want to increase defense by more than the whole amount that we spent on the soft side of U.S. power. In addition, they're proposing major cuts to peacekeeping and conflict prevention programs. They are proposing the elimination of the U.S. Institute of Peace and the bureau in the State Department that deals with civilian stabilization operations. They are also proposing to do more damage through reorganization. There are plans that are to be submitted by the end of June by each department and agency. It could end up eliminating additional agencies and offices, and it will almost certainly end up closing U.S. embassies and missions and cut our civilian staff overseas. So this turns out to be, I think, a very dangerous moment because Trump could also try to divert attention from things like the Comey issue, the Russia probe, and the other bad news by launching some kind of offensive attack, whether Syria, Afghanistan, North Korea. I don't know what it might be, but I'm very worried that this is a time when we could see something very bad or worse than we're already seeing come up. The good news, after all that bad news, is that there has been a really uniformly negative response from the left, the right, and the center to Trump's foreign policy and international affairs budget. Whether you're talking about even military leaders, faith leaders, think tanks, pundits, Congress, everybody is giving him bad reviews in foreign policy, and Congress is actually fighting back. I'm going to, again, explain the budget process in a minute, but the omnibus funding bill, which was just enacted over the past week, is a really strong rebuke to Trump. It increases many of the counts that he said he wants to cut or eliminate, and the overall total is a significant jump, something, I think it's $4.6 billion higher than last year. So, we really have a strong friend in Congress on these issues, I think. One bright spot within the administration is that they have nominated Mark Green to head the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, and he's known as a friend of development. He's worked at the International Republican Institute, which does democracy and human rights programs around the world. So we're hoping that there will at least be one rational voice over there. And, of course, there are lots of organizations like your own working on this. People are working together to coordinate their messages. I know you're part of the Prevention and Protection Working Group, which is an alliance of a bunch of different organizations interested in peace building, and I think people are working well together. So there is some good news. And so I'll just tell you a few things about the budget process that I think would be helpful to know as we move forward. Dan, are we okay on time? Is this okay?
Yeah, this is just fine. You're doing great, and we can be flexible on the back end also. I think it's really worthwhile to take as much time on this as you feel you need.
Great. Because it is so confusing, even here in Washington, most people don't understand it. So I just wanted to break it down into the steps of what's going to happen. So what we just saw passed was the second half of the budget for fiscal year 17. The fiscal years start in October 1st and they end September 30th. So October 1st of 2016, last year, started half a year budget that just ended now and they only just approved the second half of it now. So that takes us only through September. So we need to have a new budget, which is the 2018 budget, done by September. That's almost never happens, very unlikely to happen, which is why all fall long you have all these threats of government shutdowns and various debates between the administration and Congress, because Congress almost never completes the budgeting process on time. And so they keep extending what was done earlier by weeks or months to give themselves more time. So just some terminology. What people call a CR, a continuing resolution, is a temporary bill that just funds the government to keep on doing everything it's doing the same way it's been doing it at the same levels for a certain period of time. So they call it a continuing resolution. Another kind of appropriations bill that you hear of is an omnibus. And what that means is that instead of having a separate bill for each area of the government, one for foreign aid, one for health, one for defense, you know, one for transportation, they wrap them all together in one big bill, and then they call it an omnibus. And that is also another reflection that Congress is sort of dysfunctional, and they can't manage to pass the bills individually. The only way they can do it is by wrapping it up into one big ball. But this is the way it's supposed to happen. The administration submits its proposal for a budget in the spring. Trump already sent one up, I think it was in March, that everybody's calling the skinny budget. And they're calling it a skinny budget because it really had no details. So the whole part describing foreign policy and foreign aid was two pages. So now we're waiting for them to come out with the detailed budget that tells you line by line what they're proposing to spend, and we are expecting that to come out on May 23rd, so just about a week from today. The next step is that the budget committees in Congress start working on their own resolutions that set the top line numbers. And what's important to know is that the budget proposal by the president is not binding in any way. It's just their idea that they put out there, and the budget committees in Congress can do something totally different. They don't have to listen to what the administration wants at all. The problem is that both houses of Congress have to agree on a budget resolution. They don't have to get the president's signature on it. They just need both houses of Congress to agree, and that is very hard to happen. Quite often, the House and Senate can't reach agreement. In fact, they never agreed on a budget for 2017. And so they probably won't even start working on a budget for 2018 until June. So what happens is, because the budget committees are so disorganized and don't get their acts together, the appropriations committees start their work. So this is what happened. The first step is the appropriations committees. They need to have a big total number to divide up, so they guess what's going to be in the budget, and they tell each subcommittee for each subject, one for the state and foreign operations, for transportation, for DOD and so forth, here's the total amount of money you have that you can work with. And then each subcommittee divides that up, you know, according to the programs and the very specific line items that they that they're going to recommend. And that process will go on all summer and all fall, and most likely we will have another continuing resolution for some period of time, because they won't figure it all out by the end of September. And in our case, a continuing resolution is the best outcome we could hope for, because the amounts that were approved this spring just now are really good for international affairs. They were much better than anything that's likely to happen next year. So the best outcome for us could be just continuing exactly what's going on. You know, there's supposed to be another step in all of this that also never happens, which is that the authorizing committees, which would mean the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and the House Foreign Affairs Committee, develop their own bill to set the policies and the budget lines. But that process is so dysfunctional that the last time we passed a full-scale foreign aid authorization bill was 1985. And yes, I was on Capitol Hill when it happened, but I'm not sure if I will see it again in my lifetime. So that's where we are. As you will see from the action memo that Dan sent you, there are two basic messages that we'd like to get across. One is fund diplomacy, not war. So we want members of Congress to oppose cuts to the State Department and USAID, and within that larger area of State Department and USAID, which means diplomacy and foreign aid, there are a few special accounts that we think are particularly important. One is the Complex Crisis Fund, which you may be familiar with, but they tend to fund all kinds of civil society efforts on peace building and reconciliation. And so they do very important work, and they could be slated for elimination. Another is the U.S. Institute of Peace. And I know it's not the institution we would all like to see. It's, you know, falls short of a Department of Peace or anything like that, but it's one of the best tools we have, and that has also been slated for elimination by the Trump administration. There are two different accounts for international peacekeeping. One is called Contributions for International Peacekeeping, and that one is that's the assessed contributions to the UN for UN peacekeeping, and then there's another one called Peacekeeping Operations, which is our voluntary contributions for peacekeeping. And one other account that I would bring up is the Transition Initiatives. That's mostly for the Office of Transition Initiatives that does a lot of peace-building work in transitional states. And that's actually a place that I worked at USAID, and I think they really do terrific work. So the budget about funding diplomacy is one big ask that you want to make. And the other message is there's a new bill that we were hoping it would be introduced today. As far as I know, it didn't happen today, but it should happen very soon, which is a bill on preventing atrocities. We're expecting it to be introduced by Senators Cardin, Rubio, Young, Murkowski, and about 17 others. And basically, it would help interagency coordination for atrocities prevention. It would provide funding for that. It would authorize training of U.S. Foreign Service officers for atrocities prevention and intelligence agencies to gather information that would help with preventing atrocities. Now, it's been delayed a few times. I bet you have heard about this before, but as soon as it gets introduced, we want to build support for movement on that. So that is my message to you, and I welcome your questions.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Diana. For folks that were not aware, Diana's last few minutes was really tracking right along the lines of the action sheet. So if you haven't already downloaded and taken a look at the action sheet, you can see all the detailed institutes that you just mentioned laid out there. If you have a question, you can press 1 on your keypad, and I'll call on you. Pressing 1 on your keypad is basically the equivalent of raising your hand, and I see hands starting to go up. Let me call on Judy. Judy, go ahead. You're live.
Hi, Dan and Diana. It's such a privilege to have you on our call tonight. Thank you so much. I actually have two questions. Actually, I have three, but I don't want to hog the mic here. Number one, I wanted to ask you about our Secretary of State Tillerson, and if there's any point in trying to influence him or in some way call or lobby him with regard to the State Department budget, if you think that's worth any energy at all. And then my second question was about the timing of calls to support these initiatives. when would be an appropriate time for us to really make a big push with regard to these budget issues?
Okay. So on Tillerson, I do think he can be influenced, but I don't think he's going to be influenced by calls from the public because he's not an elected official.
Yeah.
And I don't think that calls will go through to him or to the people who will care. I do think that Congress can be asked to push him.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't shown that he cares very much about values in foreign policy and has, in fact, said that there's a conflict and a difference between our values and our interests, and we have to pursue our interests. But members of Congress reacted very negatively to that, and they said that's not true, and we have to pursue our interests, I mean our values, and our values are consistent with our interests. I really think the best way to get at Tillerson is through Congress and through public, you know, op-eds, letters to the editor, things yes. that get in the newspaper. But calling him, I don't think makes it much of a difference. As far as timing of calls to members, this is going to be going on for a long time. And I suspect, you know, one call now is nice, but it actually will be helpful to follow the process as it goes along. Hopefully, Dan and others will be updating you as the process moves along. I would say right now, it's a little bit early on the next budget process because nothing has come in yet. We'll see something on the 23rd, we hope. And so I would imagine that in the middle of next week, there will probably be all kinds of newspaper articles, and you'll get updates on what it means for peace building and diplomacy and development. And then that would be a good time to respond to members of Congress, senators saying, I oppose this. Please preserve the funding for these things. But you may have to do it a few times as the process moves forward.
Great, thank you.
Diana, I should probably mention that was Judy Kimmel, who's one of our board presidents. I was distracted at the moment that I had to unmute her, so I didn't mention
I'm just out
thank
here
you, Judy.
Wanting to make a difference like everybody else.
Absolutely.
Just, hearing this is just enraging to me, and I don't often say that, but the whole aspect of global peace is just it's tragic. So anyway.
I actually thought about one other opportunity, which will be good, which is the nomination of Mark Green to be the USAID administrator. That's a nomination that will have to be considered by the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. They have not yet received all his papers, and they have not scheduled a hearing yet. But at the time that happens and they hold the hearing, is a wonderful time to encourage your senators, if you are lucky enough to live in the district of a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and tell them to ask questions and push him on what he's going to do to prioritize and protect the accounts that help promote peace and conflict resolution.
I'm assuming that a phone call this week will not be wasted. I had in mind to sort of strike while the iron is hot, while we've got these folks on the call, to try to set in your minds the idea that they might make some of these calls in the next few days, even if they also follow
Absolutely.
Up next week.
Yes,
so,
it will not be wasted at all.
Terrific. And on the action sheet, we've got a handy script that will sort of guide you through a little nuts and bolts. Also, to remind folks, this call is being recorded and it'll be available on the website. So if you want to review what you're hearing, so you don't have to sort of keep track of every little thing, with some of this new information, then you'll be able to take another listen and share it with your friends. Let's have another question from Josh. Go ahead, Josh. Your mic is live.
Hi, can you say a little bit about the Conflict Prevention Working Group, what groups are involved and what you guys are doing?
Are you talking about the Prevention and Protection Working Group? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Dan may be better placed to answer that than I am. I'm not a formal member of it. I've done some work with them now and then, but I'm not a formal member of it.
Josh, I've got... I have to admit that we are not as active a participant with them as we have been in recent years. I don't know if Diana's aware, we haven't really caught up, but we don't have an office based in D.C. currently, so we haven't been attending meetings, and we're a little bit less in the loop than we used to be, for sure.
Okay. No
so
problem.
You might be more
online.
All right.
Well, I was told by people who do go that they are aware that Peace Alliance is a member, and the good news is that there is a community of different groups. This is like Friends Committee on National Legislation and Humanity United and a whole bunch of different groups that are interested in these matters, and they are meeting and they are getting together. They did write a letter, which I believe the Peace Alliance signed, which was to Tillerson. To the members of the House of Representatives. Oh, you're not on it. Sorry.
Yeah, we haven't been connected lately.
But they did send a letter to all the appropriators on these issues that we just discussed.
Good. Let's see. How are we doing time-wise? I think we can take one more. Thanks, Josh. There it is. Geraldine Stapleton. Go ahead, Geraldine. Your mic is open.
Hi. Diane, thank you so much for a very comprehensive update on the complications of the federal budget. And also, I noticed that you worked for my former congressman, Berman, which unfortunately is not still there. I worked very hard over a year to keep him there. In terms of, the timing on the budget items, would it be a good idea to try to keep a watch on possibly when they might be coming up for hearings and then to put out the legislation alert to do the phone calls prior to a hearing?
The process goes on, and there's so many different times at which, we can do helpful things. And the good news is that you can call, as concerned citizens, you can call anytime, and it's, you do it today, not today, like tomorrow, and it will be useful, and it will be remembered, and it will be great. And I think it will be incumbent upon the groups who are here in Washington to let everybody know when the special opportunities are, because there's a hearing on that subject, because there's a vote going on, because there's a nomination, whatever is happening that provides special hooks, as we call them, for you to write letters, make phone calls, publish op-eds, that kind of thing. And there's just one other thing that I would want to point out, because this comes up all the time. Write to your own members of Congress, because honestly, if you write to somebody who is not your elected representative, either your senator or your representative, they actually don't pay attention. They will send it to the person who is your member. So use your voice effectively by, even if you think that your member is terrible and they don't listen to you and they don't do anything you want, it's them, it's exactly those people that you need to be in touch with.
Yeah, we're very aware in terms of the constituent value. However, sometimes dealing with it, if you are the president of a national organization or whatever, they will pay attention to that. And I do believe we did sign on to one letter with the National Friends Committee.
Yes. Yes.
Wow,
that's exactly right.
Yeah, we did.
As organizations, yes, you can write to chair and ranking members of committees, but as individual activists, it really has to come from the district or the state.
Right. Agreed. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, so Diana, I'll give you the last word if there's anything that you want to sort of leave folks with. And after this, you're more than welcome to stay on if you'd like, but we understand if there are other places you have to be and things you have to do. So, again, thank you so much for being with us, and we'll be doing some coaching on this action a little bit later in the call. But is there anything that you want to share with us before we sort of close out the segment?
I just want to thank you all so much for what you're doing, because nothing that we do here in Washington would work without members hearing it from you. Honestly, it's the most important thing that happens, and it's all thanks to you that that Congress is fighting back. So thank you. Keep it up, and I look forward to checking in with you at another time.
Sounds great. We would love to have you back and get an update at some point. Thanks again so much for being with us, Diana.
Thank you so much. Take care, everyone.
You too.
Bye.
Wow. So, again, this is all being recorded, and I encourage folks to check it out in a few days if you want to listen to this again and share it with other folks that might find it interesting and worthwhile. Next up, we're going to hear from Karen Johnson in Chicagoland, who is a member of the Department of Peacebuilding Committee. And some of you may be aware of the campaign, the Peace of the Pie campaign, which we're in the middle of right now, the Mother's Day season. And a lot of folks have been visiting the offices of members of Congress with a pie to represent the federal budget and talking about the importance of peacebuilding. And many of them are focusing specifically on the Department of Peacebuilding bill. So we're going to hear about some of that, I believe, from Karen. Go ahead, Karen. Welcome. Your mic is open.
Hello. Thanks, Dan, and hello, everybody. Yeah, I was just thinking as she was speaking, one of those special hooks to contact our representatives is Piece of the Pie season. So an email went out, I believe, May 10th to everybody in the database about the annual Peace Wants a Piece of the Pie campaign. We usually started right around Mother's Day, the Friday before, and we're encouraging people, you know, anytime in May and June to get with their local representatives and bring an actual pie that they can eat and the pie chart that's on the Department of Peacebuilding page under Issues and Advocacy, and any other materials that we've got on, you know, the violence stats, the Department of Peacebuilding bill, Youth Promise Act bill, some of these funds and initiatives that were just mentioned, and just say peace wants a piece of the federal budget pie. And that's what this is about, is just continuing to ask for more budgeting toward prevention and violence reduction and peace building. So we also have a link to SurveyMonkey for people to report their actions. So if people have already taken action, we'd like to get it recorded so that we can track that. And then also if you send your pictures, again, there's information in that email, but to nancy@peacealliance.org, we'll pull together something and post things. So far we've had people have meetings and report them from California, Ohio, Texas, Georgia, Illinois, and someone was on our monthly Department of Peacebuilding call last night that pledged to deliver pies in New Hampshire. So we encourage that. It's great to do that as many years as we can. People take notice when you come in with a pie. And the original intention for Mother's Day was created by Julia Ward Howe, and the intention was to not have mothers have to send their children to war again. So it was a peace-building purpose with the day, and so we used that as an awareness-building One other thing about the Department of Peacebuilding Committee, we're looking at lobby days again this year. We've set the dates of October 4th and 5th, and we're kind of preceding a couple of other events that we learned about. The World Beyond War Conference starts on Friday the 6th, and there's a Million Youth March that is on the 7th, I believe, right around noontime. Million Youth Peace March, so you can actually Google Million Youth Peace March and find out more about that. But we will be at the Hotel Harrington. We've got meeting room space, and people can make reservations there or contact us for room shares, and we'll get something on the website and an email out before too very long. But save those dates, October 4th and 5th this year.
So wonderful, Karen. I applaud your work, and I applaud the work of this committee. I mean, for folks who are new to understanding this, the Department of Peacebuilding Committee is really about as grassroots as it gets. That these are folks who organize calls on their own initiative and travel on their own dime and create just a massive lobbying structure of a system for recording office visits and phone calls and emails, and are really supporting this overarching peacebuilding structure and just the understanding of what peacebuilding looks like in our Congress. So I really applaud your vision and determination and just sort of practical steps to walk your talk. So thank you, Karen, and thanks to everybody else on the committee who was on the call. I know there are few folks on the committee who are on the call. I'm not going to start naming them because I'll miss somebody and then I'll feel horrible. But I've got a big dashboard in front of me. But you know who you are, so give yourself a pat on the back. Thanks, Karen. Okay. Next, I would love to take a look at this action sheet, and I would love a volunteer, two volunteers, one who'd be willing to read the top half of the sheet, and then another one who'd be willing to role play the call that's on the bottom half of the sheet. And it's really a straightforward role play because it's all sort of typed out in black and white. But who feels like reading aloud right now? Anybody looking at that action sheet in front of you and willing to read aloud to the rest of us? Just go press 1 on your keypad. So I know that you're willing to share your voice and put some feeling into the words that are in black and white on the page. Looking for that one. Is this mic on? Anyone? There are a couple of them. Thank you so much. All right. So I'll go ahead and ask Vicki to go ahead and read for us the top half of the page. Go ahead, your mic is on. Open.
I'm assuming it's a sample script that you have on your May 17th Build International Peace Form.
I was actually going to ask you to read the information at the top first. It's kind of a review of what Diana just shared with us, but it's a little bit of background. And then I actually got another volunteer that I'll ask them to do the script below, just for variety. So you read the top half?
Sure. This is Vicki Eisler from Mediators Beyond Borders International. The sheet says Peace Alliance Action Sheet, May 2017, Build International Peace. The clear message we invite you to send to Congress is support what works. Ask your senators to, 1, oppose any cuts to the Senate Department and USAID's budget. In particular, you should mention the peacebuilding importance of the U.S. Institute of Peace, the Complex Crisis Fund, the Conflict Stabilization Operations Bureau, the UN's Peacekeeping Operations, and the Office of Transition Initiatives. 2, support the new bipartisan Senate bill on atrocities prevention, either introduced today or due to be introduced within days, led by Senator Cardin, Rubio, Young, Murkowski, and about 17 others. This bill would A, authorize interagency coordination for atrocities prevention, authorize funding for this purpose, authorize training for Foreign Service officers in atrocity prevention, and finally, authorize the intelligence community to focus on atrocities prevention.
You did such a great job. I think I'm not going to switch horses in midstream. I'm going to ask you to. I'm making a snap decision here. So will you be our role-playing caller?
Sure, why not?
Great. I'd love to start off a role play on the phone with ring, ring. So will you start by saying ring, ring?
You do the ring. Hello.
No, well, you're calling, so I want you to
okay.
I want you to make the ring sound.
Ring, ring. Hello.
Thank you. Thank you.
I
need somebody to make. Wait, give me a chance. Don't steal the whole stage. Congressional Switchboard, how may I help you?
Hello. Please connect me with Senator. What senator do we want?
What state are you in?
I'm in New Jersey.
New Jersey. So who are your senators in New Jersey?
Well, I think the one that would be most in need of influence actually is not mine, but it's Senator Lentz. He's actually a pretty flexible Republican senator, so I think he can be influenced. So let's go with Senator Lentz's office.
Okay. And you're welcome to call both of your senators if you feel like it. But Senator Lentz's office,
okay.
Sure. I'll put you right through. Just a moment. Bring, 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 bring. Senator Lentz's office, how can I help you?
Hi, my name is Vicki Jan Eisler. I'm a constituent from Metuchen, New Jersey. Please convey to the senator that regarding next year's budget, I would really like them to support full funding for the State Department and USAID. I'm particularly interested in support of our current international peacebuilding tools and entities like the Office of Transition Initiative, the Complex Crisis Fund, and the USIP. There are also particular bills on atrocities prevention, which either were just introduced or about to be introduced. This bill would be very important. Please ask the senator to contact other senators within my district office, as well as other senators, to become co-sponsors of this incredibly important legislation. Thank you so much.
I'll be sure to pass that along, and we thank you for your concern. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Vicki. I always like to do a little self-debrief. So, and that was, you know, right off the cuff, you're seeing this script for the first time, and you jump right into it. Anything that, when you go ahead and do this the next time for real, what do you like that you did there? First of all, what are you glad about? What worked out well that you want to remember and do that again next time?
Well, certainly the issues about budget are important. I also think that there's some things missing about the UN peacekeeping and how we are now sort of reneging on some of our financial commitments. I'm the UN delegate for Mediators Beyond Borders, so that may be, I may be more sensitive to that than most people.
So you'd like to include some of that if you're doing it again?
And support of our presence in terms of peace building and our initiatives within NATO and within appropriate initiatives within NATO and within our already articulated commitments.
You might want to have more of a conversation, it sounds like.
All right.
And there was a...
Otherwise,
there was a
piece I think it's good.
Yeah, great. Is there... I want to just sort of clarify for folks, if you're reading along, the last little paragraph, the last statement, it says, please ask the senator to contact senator, and then in the parentheses it says Cardin, if Democrat, and Rubio, if Republican, office, to become a co-sponsor of this legislation. So this is the ask, that you're asking your senator to become a co-sponsor of this bill, and the way they would do that is if they're a Democrat, they would contact Senator Cardin's office. And so for your senator that you were mentioning, if he's a Republican, they would contact the Republican, then you would ask him to contact Senator Rubio's office because Senator Rubio is the lead Republican on the bill.
I have a question for you about that, actually, because
We
are trying to really encourage reaching across the aisle. So if you have someone who's a Republican who is actually really – not positional, but interest-based, do you still want to limit it to only your same party, or do you want to encourage them also to reach across the aisle a little bit?
That's interesting. Traditionally, we've done it this way, which is that whoever the lead sponsor is for that party would be the one that would gather co-sponsors within that party. Sure. But I suppose that's an open question. You know, you raise an interesting point. If someone might be potentially more friendly to connect with Senator Cardin's office, or it would be just an interesting melding, you can give them the option. That's another way to do it. You could say the lead sponsors of the bill are Senators Cardin and Rubio, and you could leave it to the Senator, the Senate staffer's option to say, okay, we'll go ahead and contact Senator Rubio's office, or we actually have – it's interesting to us to reach across the aisle this week, so we'll contact Senator Cardin. So, interesting point.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, you're saying first identify with whoever's leading it for their party, but then encourage them to reach across the aisle on position because they are uniquely intellectual. It's not the right word because I don't know what the right word is at the moment, but because we recognize that they are much more of a interest-based and in the interest of the people of your state as opposed to positional and party-based person? Question mark?
Okay. But potentially.
Again,
I'm not familiar with that senator, so if you have the sense that they would kind of go for that they might have more in common with Senator Cardin than Senator Rubio, it's really, really up to you. If you feel strongly enough about it to really encourage them to reach across the aisle, that's a judgment call. But as I said, the traditional way is for them to stay within their party. But you could also take that up with the aide. You could say, I'm curious. In this instance, I feel like the senator is more aligned with Senator Cardin on this issue than Senator Rubio. But
it's definitely issue-based.
Feel it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's helpful.
All right. You're very welcome, and thanks for stepping up and being a role model in that role play. So I'd like to do a quick poll. Now, you saw Vicki do that for us and demonstrate how that's done, and you have this guideline, which was sent to all of you. I'm asking you to raise your hand, press 1 on your keypad, if you are willing to go ahead and make this 2-minute phone call in the next 3 days. While this is fresh in your mind, to look over the sheet, get some information, and make this phone call, either one or both of your senators, within the next 3 days, to go ahead and sort of lodge your opinion, make it clear that someone out there is caring about the tools for international peace building. You can respond yes to the poll by pressing 1. Okay. Hands keep going up. We're just about at 50%. Appreciate that. 47% right now. Over 50%. We're at 52%. Okay. Good. Well, I'm not going to follow up and hold you to it. I appreciate you stepping up and voicing your willingness. But again, you've got the tools in your hand. So thanks to all of you. Now I'm going to put your hands down so that I can call on folks. And this is the time. We've got about 12 minutes left on the call, and this is the time when we want to hear from each other. I want to hear from anybody who's got some activities locally that you want to let folks know about, whether you're working with a local school or neighborhood or on your own peace-building practice, or you've had some development in your relationship with a member of Congress or with a member of the press. This is just like community meeting time, time where you can share with each other for, 2 to 3 minutes. I'd say maybe keep it to 2 minutes so we have a chance to hear from multiple people. So go ahead and press 1 on your keypad if you have anything that you'd like to share with the folks who are on this call to let folks know what's happening in your neck of the woods. And you can just sort of say your name and where you are and anything that you want to clue folks into. And I see Maggie Corin has her hand up. Go ahead, Maggie. Your mic is open.
Oh, hi. Thank you very much. It's been an excellent call and lovely speaker. About calling our members of Congress, it's like we need to have a relationship with the aide. The aide is just a junior person in the office, doesn't really know very much, and they're probably brand new this year. And so you want to develop a relationship with them by talking to them personally, and you want to speak to the policy director or the legislative director in the office, or if you're able to talk to them, and you ask them, do they know anything about this thing that we're talking about? And I actually ask them to promise me that they will read it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the Department of Peace Building, but I develop a relationship because I'm going to call again, and I'm going to ask for their name. I'm going to ask them by name. And it's like, and we're all going to be doing it because there's so much going on. And so it's like developing that relationship and then finding out who the policy director or legislative director is, because they're going to know about the bill and they're going to be more able to convince their MOC about, the support.
Yeah.
10 cents there.
Thank you. Absolutely. Great, great points. Really appreciate that. That relationship building is key. It's just like making a connection. You know, this is a human being, as you say. They're, some of them are very new in Washington, and they often really love to connect with constituents to tell them, you know, what you care about and build that connection. Thanks for that, Maggie. Okay, I see Shannon has her hand up. Go ahead, Shannon. Your mic is open.
Hi, everyone. My name is Shannon Betters. I'm the Community Peace Building Cornerstone Lead for our council. And I just wanted to let you know that on Wednesday, June 7th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will be having our first quarterly community peace building brainstorming and networking session. So if you have something in your community or you've worked on something in the past that's worth bringing to the table, or you just want to get to know other people in different communities that are doing different things, we're looking to connect a group of people so that we can kind of weigh the pros and cons of different events that we've participated in, or possibly fundraising things that you have done. Maybe there are things you have concerns about or things you're really excited about, or you just want to meet other people involved in community peace building. This would be a great opportunity for you to participate in a networking event. And I'm also interested in anybody that wants to possibly speak during that call. You can just simply send me an email at shannon@peacealliance.org. And we can get in touch, and I can give you more information there. If you are interested in receiving more information just to attend and participate in the call, you can also email me there, and we will get you set up on the email blast with the confirmation and all of the instructions on how to participate. Thank you, everybody, for participating this evening.
Thanks so much, Shannon. That's wonderful stuff coming up. Yeah, so great to have this initiative, and look forward to seeing what all develops in our field and among folks that are working on community levels. Okay, I currently have no other hands up, so if you're holding back because you thought the line was too long, you can go ahead and put your hand up. There you are. Hi, Peggy. Nice to see your face, your
hey.
Name.
Hey, Dan. It's been a long time since we've seen you, but I hear you every month. I just wanted to encourage people about the piece of the pie. We've done that both in Clark County and Champaign County, Ohio, and we had pie with the aid, and that was with our new congressman, Warren Davidson, in Springfield, and his aid was wonderful, and we have spent, in both cases, the other one was with Senator Sherrod Brown's aid, who came all the way to Mechanicsburg from Columbus, and which was really unusual. But we shared the pie, we talked, we listened to them. It was wonderful. And each of them gave us probably an hour and 15 minutes of their time. So we really did build a relationship, and we're following up on that. But it was the piece of the pie. I mean, not the piece of the pie. Sharing the pie, that was such a good tool, I think. And we've had such success with that in the past with, other folks. So, and one other thing I'd just like to mention, I'm very interested in what Shannon was saying. I didn't catch the time of that call. Did she say that? Because we're doing a lot of collaborating in the Dayton, Springfield area with different peace groups. They're all coming together primarily. I would say that one of the movers is the International Cities of Peace. Which we've, Urbana, Springfield, Dayton have all signed on for that. So that's something I think some of the other people would be interested in just Google International Cities of Peace. I just believe in all of us coming together to do this work. So that's it.
Wonderful, wonderful, so inspiring. Let me unmute Shannon for another minute. Shannon, did you catch that? Will you tell us what time that call is? Do you know?
Yes. We're going to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Say the number again.
Shannon. I'm sorry, what? 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
9 p.m. Eastern. Great.
Okay,
thank you
very much.
Sure.
Hope to see you, Dan.
Bye-bye. Yeah, Peg, same here. A note about the Piece of the Pie activities. As Karen mentioned, you hopefully all received an email about this campaign, and that email was May 10th. If you're new to the Peace Alliance or you don't manage to find that email in your inbox, go ahead and email me, dan@peacealliance.org, and I will forward you that email with plenty of links to materials, with statistics and information and guidelines to have this kind of action over the next month or so. So happy to answer questions and send information to help folks do that. Let's see. Anybody else have something to share? Again, we're out of hands. So if you're holding back because you thought the line would be too long, go ahead and press 1, and I'll see you. Questions about this action, about the atrocities prevention bill? I don't know that I'll have all the answers, but if you have a question, other folks might have it too, and we can at least discuss it and make steps to address it. Anna, go ahead. Your mic is open.
Oh, hi, Dan. I was just wondering, how influential would emails or postcards be with the same information on that you have for the calls?
Mm-hmm. Great question. There are various kind of calculi, that you can sort of measure it by how much time and effort it takes to do it. That's how the congressional offices would tend to weight something, right? So they kind of know that a click of a mouse is a little bit easier than sending an original email, and sending an original email is a little easier than either making a phone call or sending a postcard. They probably would weight a postcard more heavily than a phone call, I would think, a handwritten postcard. Some people caution against letters in envelopes because they can take a few weeks to be screened because they have to screen them for toxins.
Yeah.
So it's largely a matter of preference. I think handwritten postcards, especially with like scenes from your home state, tend to get people's attention and lift their spirits and personal touch is always nice. So basically, the easier it is, the less weight it tends to carry. But everything carries a little bit of weight. So phone call is a good solid step and allows you to have some back and forth with the person on the other end. But it's maybe not as colorful as a postcard. So Does that help? Do you have any other questions along those lines?
No, it definitely does. No, it's great. Thank you.
Okay. Good. You're very welcome. Okay. Well, we're coming up to the last minute. I'm going to, and I don't think I see any more hands raised. No, not at the moment. There's Judy. Judy, do you have something that you wanted to share or ask? Go ahead, Judy. Is that an accidental one? Your phone might be muted, Judy.
It is muted. I'm sorry.
Okay, not anymore.
So I forget what it was that I was going to ask. It was a while ago, and now my head's gone on to something else. So, it's just great to be on this call tonight. So powerful, and Diana was great. I mean, you hardly wonder where to start, but certainly the actions tonight are going to be critical in this planet as we go forward. No matter who our president is or whatever, I mean, we have to keep peace on the planet. So,
yeah,
we need organizations.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah, thank you, too. And thanks to all of you who are here tonight. I saw, one or two hands went up at the last minute, but we're now at the top of the hour, and I do like to respect folks' time. So I'll stay on after folks sign off. If whoever's raising their hands still has questions, I'll stay on for a few minutes. But for now, I'm going to select everyone and see if I can open up the mics.
Oh.
Lori, can you help me with this? For some reason, my screen is not allowing me to. Oh, there it is. Okay. All right. Now all your mics are open, and feel free to say what you want in terms of goodbye and thanks or whatever you want to say. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.
A great work.
Bye, everybody.
Aloha.
Thank you. Have fun.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.